Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Green Left Radio. And on the line today, we have, we're very happy to have Pauline Galvin with us today. I usually say in the studio, but there's no studio because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And Pauline Galvin has been a longtime community activist, and she is currently going to be running for local council for the Sue Bolton Moreland team for the Moreland City Council. And she is the lead candidate for the South Ward in Moreland, which covers all of Brunswick, Brunswick West and Brunswick East. Well, not all of Brunswick, because parts of Brunswick are actually part of the North East Ward, but yeah. And so we have, we're going to have Pauline in, on today to have a bit of a discussion about, her council election campaign, why she is running for council, maybe a bit of a discussion about some of the political issues, that she is passionate about. And I guess maybe to start off, Pauline, I guess want to start off with, start off the discussion with why you, as you're a community kind of independent and Sue Bolton Moreland team is a team that's of Socialist Alliance members and community independents. Why is it that you have decided to run for local council with the Sue Bolton Moreland team?
Good morning, Jacob. I think one of the main reasons I'm standing with the Sue Bolton Moreland team is I have a real huge amount of respect for the work of Sue Bolton and how she has been on the council. I also have quite strong, I guess, socialist leanings, you might say. I've always described my political colours as green and red. So I've always had a very strong interest in environmental issues, like all of my life. And I've had a very strong social perspective, social understanding of the importance of us working together to look after all of us that comes from that socialist political persuasion, whilst ever not actually being as so interested in party politics that I have joined either any of those political parties. So it's a combination of interest and respect for what Sue has done and just an ongoing, that green and red is really my political background, my political interests.
And can you tell us a bit more about, I guess, about some of the political interests and I guess in some of the issues, I guess, you're passionate about? I mean, maybe some of the political issues you might be hoping to sort of run on in terms of the local council.
So one of the big things that has been on our political agenda as a country, as well as my political agenda, is climate emergency. And one of the things that, so I've been involved in climate campaigning for quite a few years now. And it really, there's so many threads to the climate emergency that we are in at the moment. I've been involved with some of the forest campaigning, climate justice issues, so lots of threads of those, of which aren't necessarily council issues. But one of the things about that has been become apparent over the last few years is that actually cities is where the council is where climate action is happening. Countries tend to like, oh, we don't know what to do. We've got all these international agreements that we're just ignoring. The states are like, oh, we can't afford to put our gas things out, you know, fossil fuel issue work at risk, but actually councils are the ones that are actually doing the work with that people to actually reduce their carbon footprint. So cities, particularly internationally, cities are really where the carbon and climate action actually is. It's been really very interesting.
So I guess, Pauline, I mean, talking, I guess, about climate issues. I understand that you've had a lot of involvement in a lot of different campaigns over the years. In fact, you've been part of Climate Action Moreland. And I guess from my understanding, you were also involved in the campaign to stop the East-West link. And I guess I want to hear a bit more from you, a bit of reflection on, I guess, what are some of your kind of experiences that you've been involved in terms of being an activist over the years?
Yeah, I would say that the East-West link action was the first thing that I really became active about. I remember just opening this news, I went away with some friends and we were talking about political stuff and the importance of responsibility and what an individual can do. And I got home and opened this newspaper and there was just this spread about what the East-West link and what that was going to do to my city, like it's Greater Melbourne, but it's my city. And I was just outraged and like, not on my watch. And so I got involved and I knew a number of people that were active in that campaign. It's where I first met Sue Bolton, was involved through the East-West link and actually met her on the picket line. And such an experience of when concerned citizens get together and actually get organised, what is possible? And it's that the mass of people, but there's also all the links that those people have so that that person knows that person who can talk to that person who knows that person. And suddenly you're getting a lot more political reach than just concerned of Coburg writing another sternly worded letter to the newspaper or a politician. So when you actually get people together, that is when magic happens, really, and that's the strength of a community campaign. So it was just about you could just do what you could do. There was a picket line, but I'm sure people turned up every morning, but I went down one or two mornings a week because that's what I could do. And it's just you had such a breadth of people that were each doing a little bit. It was really inspiring. And so part of that, we got involved with other people in Moreland who were interested in the same issues. One of the interesting things about transport is that it's a system. It's all these different things that are brought together to work together. And the transport is such a climate change, such a climate emergency issue because I think transport is like the second most in terms of energy, carbon footprint of what we use. And so it's such an important thing for us to address. And yet our governments just keep building more and more mega roads. It's just ridiculous. We're just putting in all this infrastructure. We're spending all this money that we could be spending on so many more better things for the community, better things for if it's, you know, employing people, let alone getting stuff that's actually got a good outcome. But no, we pour all these billions and billions of dollars into buying something that is going to make the situation worse. It's just ridiculous and just become, and the state government, I'm afraid, is still doing that. They're doing it with the North East Link. It's the same problem, pouring billions of dollars into something that will make the situation worse. And there's so there's a lot of people, that have been working on public transport issues in and around Moreland, a lot of people that are working on climate and climate emergency issues all around Moreland. And that intersection, that buffer where those two groups meet, is just a really interesting place to be involved and a place to it's a very fertile place to be working. So that's really, I found that really inspiring to get involved in that. Lots of reasons to actually target transport.
Well, I think I guess what I'm kind of interested in, you know, following on from everything you kind of said there is, I guess, what are the types of, like, in terms of how did your politics kind of change in response to that experience of being involved in the East-West Link campaign?
So I guess it was mostly as a get out there and get involved response, so that the politics, personal is always political and that sort of thing. So I've always been quite aware of politics and party politics, but I guess kind of figured somebody else would actually work out what was the best thing to do. And then that would just magically happen because democracy. And what I guess I've found out that was really apparent is just how much the machinations of party politics is about putting the agenda of the party, whichever party is in power, because a lot of parties do it, rather than actually looking as what's the best outcome for the community. And so that, I think, was probably the thing that was the biggest change for me. I kind of went from a bit of a naive side of, well, politicians will work out what's the right thing, obviously, when they learn enough, and then they will do the right thing. Yay, that's how it works, isn't it? And that, you know, I realized that was not the case. And then unless you get people out there being squeaky wheels, that the right thing isn't going to happen. The what's going to happen is the thing that is most convenient for the people that are in power. And whether that's to get more votes or whether that's to big up their faction or make lots of money for their political mates and donors, who knows what that is, but it's very rarely actually for the benefit of the community and the actual outcomes that generations will have to live with. And that's one of the things that really got me. It was like, we are doing stuff now that we know is stupid, and people for the next 10, 20, 50 years are going to go, man, that was stupid. Why did they do that? And we know that now, and I don't understand why people continue doing the stupid things. But if people like me don't get up there and actually go, no, this is really terrible outcome for these reasons, then the terrible things still happen. You need people like me to be out there and actually speaking up and fronting up and saying, this isn't good enough. We want better outcomes. We need the vulnerable people in our community to be looked after. We don't need more mega roads. We need public housing. There's so many things that we could be doing with the money that we're pouring into mega roads, that we could be, even if, like, we could put decent public transport in, we could put in, like, actually so many things we could do with that money.
Yeah, thanks for that, Pauline. I guess the next kind of question that kind of flows out of that is, the Sue Bolton-Morland team is running on this slogan of community need, not developer greed. And I guess I want to kind of hear a bit about from yourself about, you know, what you think about that kind of slogan and what it kind of means to you, especially in terms of the upcoming kind of council elections.
There has been a lot of development all over Moreland, and the people who are actually needing to live next to or in those developments, I think we're coming up to a very good time to actually look at the outcomes of those developments. And for current residents, having big concrete boxes go up next door, it's like, that's not necessarily such a good thing. And what about the standard of the developments? Are we building stuff that is just locking people into high energy footprints? I know of some cases in Moreland, they've got the Energy Foundation in to review what they were doing, and they're really stuck with, all you can do to make this place livable is to put in an air conditioner. So you're locking in high energy usage. So there's stuff is being built now that it seems that the primary concern is how much the developers are making. They're cramming lots of units onto a small footprint. So they are cramming lots of developments into a footprint, so they're cramming a lot more dwellings than was originally the suburbs were designed for. So there's a lot more residents, and we're not necessarily putting in transport to get those people around. They don't necessarily have access to parks, all sorts of those amenities. And the developers kind of go, well, that's your problem, council. You deal with that. We'll put in a no parking residential thing. Aren't we good? But we're doing that because the greater community has put in public transport options, but we're just going to walk away and go, whoo, job well done. And the greater community has to catch what are the consequences of those developments. And really, as a community, we need to look after the needs of the people, both who are next to and within those developments, rather than just letting a developer cram as many people in with as cheap a construction, with little thought to the actual environmental cost of living in those units. We really need to have a much more holistic approach to what is being developed. How are those people integrating into the community once they're, you know, residents? What are their needs, and how are those needs being met? And it's probably a good time actually to take a step back and look at the outcomes of a lot of the development that's been happening. And it's quite different across the municipality. Like the issues of people in Faulkner, probably a bit different to the issues of people in Brunswick, just because the nature of the developments are different. But the underlying themes of what's happening is the same, and we really need to prioritise the community rather than prioritising who's going to make a quick buck out of this.
Oh, yeah, I was going to pass it on to Chloe to ask.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was going to ask you a question, Pauline, but I think you have summed it up what you were saying last, but I'll still ask it. You mentioned before, you were talking about how council are the ones doing the actual work with the community, you know, like encouraging and working with people to reduce their carbon footprint. And I was just wondering, what other issues do you believe council should push for and take responsibility for? You know, issues that should be more community-based, seeing as there are, you know, quite a few issues that are under the control of the state government, like public transport, for instance.
I think there's a number of lines that the council could take. From what I have when I've been sort of on Zooms talking to people and sort of not so much out and about talking to people, but with this whole pandemic and what COVID-19 has brought out, is really emphasised to me how important community development is for our community. Like, it's not just for, you know, people over in poor countries somewhere else. It's actually really important for all of us living here now. And so I think one of the really important things that Moreland Council could and should be doing is supporting the community groups that do that community development work, often around food security, often around housing security. It's people supporting the people in their neighbourhood. It's those community networks that strengthen a community and give it a resilience such that when something happens, people lose their jobs, people lose their... So, you know, these sort of disasters happen, they've actually got a network that is already in place that help can flow through. Setting up a network to support people after the disaster has happened is never going to work. You need to have that stuff in place, and the people in charge, the organisation, or whether it's council level, state government, need to know about those community networks in order to use them and utilise them. As you can see what happened in the tower blocks, those networks were there. The state government, it's like, oh, I don't know, we'll just send in the police. And it's like, you just need to have those networks in place. So community development even for established suburbs, is actually really important. Supporting people to take steps in their own homes, their own units, apartments, in order to reduce their carbon footprint is really important. So that's stuff that the council can be doing. That actually helps people's hip pocket, the financial bottom line. But the council also, there's a number of things that the council could and should be doing around being organised in with other councils so that they can take those higher level steps that we really can't afford to keep pushing off. Oh, climate emergency, you as an individual, you do that, you take a few less plastic bags, you know, cut down on your meat, everything will be fine. If only we actually need to start organising and advocating for the systems that the community comes together under, things like councils, state governments, to actually start stepping up and to really address, to take very firm, very strong steps in order to safeguard our community, safeguard our environment. So we need these two strategies, two steps. It can't all be the individual. It can't all be just the government, you people over there do something. It needs to be this dance between individual responsibility, but also collective responsibility. So and one of the things about the collective responsibility thing, one of the issues that I actually really want to push on council, it's a bit unsexy, but governance, actually looking into what are we doing? Are we doing a good job? What are the outcomes? What are we looking at? How do our outcomes compare to other areas, other councils, other cities? And then what are we going to do to put into place so benchmarking involves not only how are we doing, but then what are we going to do differently? That's that process of continual improvement that a lot of people kind of get a bit eye-rolly about. But if you don't have those sort of systems embedded in your how you go about the work that you do, then you just end up going off on tangents. We really need a system of overview, checking back with what is the council doing? Is this getting the outcomes that we want? So, and then if not, then what can we do? If it is, then that's great. We should make a big song and dance and celebrate that. And if it's not, we need to fine tune what we're doing. And that process, that system of, it's a quality assurance system cycle. And that thing of governance is actually really critical to get the outcomes that we all deserve in this city.
Yeah. And I guess following on from that, Pauline, I guess I want to hear, can you tell us, I guess, a bit more about the election platform that you are running on with the Sue Bolton Moreland team? Like, what are the kind of issues you're going to be campaigning on and taking to the council election come October 24th, which has been confirmed, just for the listeners' information, will be confirmed to be going ahead despite the whole COVID pandemic we're currently facing in the case of Melbourne.
So one of the things, I guess, that I just spoke about then is governance, and I think that's a really important one to be standing on and taking to the election. For me, I guess it's environment is really critical, is crucial. The Moreland Council has made some good first steps, but we really can't afford to rest on our laurels. We really need to crank up what we are doing around climate emergency. Part of there's an issue all over the municipality really about toxic waste, about industrial waste. It's probably a little stronger in the north of, well, actually, it's not really stronger. Brunswick has a long history of industrial use. There's a lot of old factories and things around Brunswick. there's things like the dry cleaning, that thing where the there was a development on an old dry cleaning site, and the whole ground was just riddled with toxic waste just poured onto the ground because of the industry that had been there before. So there's a whole lot of issues around that, about the how the community and how the council keeps records of what is the historic usage of land and how that is actually going to be affect what developments can happen into the future. Plus, there should be a Melbourne-wide network around actually dealing with toxic waste, because when there's a big toxic fire in Campbellfield, that smoke doesn't stop at the boundary of Moreland. That blows all over Moreland. The same thing down in Footscray. When that fires go up down in Footscray, that smoke goes all over Moreland. The trucks that carry the waste to and from all of these dodgy depots, they travel through all of the city, all of the suburbs, that will go through Moreland. It's those sort of, you know, we've been playing with chemicals that have, over the last 50, 70 years, we have come up with a whole lot of chemicals and putting them together in a whole lot of different ways. And the chemical consequences of that is like, before the event, before you start mixing up all these different things, it's not possible to know what is going to be the downstream consequences of those industrial activities. Now we know, now we really need to make sure that those consequences are actually dealt with and mitigated against, and people are protected against. So the whole issue of toxic waste and how we deal with waste is a huge issue, both for the state, it's really all over the state, and so it's an issue for everybody in Moreland as well. Community involvement is one of the other things that I'm really passionate about and really keen about. Getting people involved in what is happening in the city. So getting people to, getting that crowdsourcing, wisdom of the crowd thing happening when looking at policy, so that if you do a good community engagement issue over things that is coming up towards the council, you get all these different perspectives and all these people kind of go, oh, but what about this thing? And it's like, if you proofread a document, you already go, yeah, that's fine. And then somebody else will look at it and go, oh, but there's these problems. So we need to take that strategy and apply it to pretty much everything that the council is doing, because not only do you get those fresh eye approach, but you also get, but for this group of people, this will have these consequences. So you can snip off those unintended consequences so much earlier. And there's been a number of things that have happened in Moreland that you think, well, if you had have just asked people, they probably would have identified that there were problems that people are going to push back against. So it's again, you need to not only have a good policy, but it actually needs to be useful and usable. And the best way that you can do that is to actually talk to people about what's happening. So that community engagement, community involvement, getting feedback from the community, getting their input, so that you can fine tune what it is that you're doing. It's that quality cycle again, that you can't just go off on your own little ivory tower. It needs to be a workable solution for actual people. So that community involvement really ties in with the governance issues that I was talking about earlier. So I guess those are the two things that really I'm really very keen on, committed to: the environmental side of, so the green, the environmental side of things, both carbon and toxic chemicals, those sort of all those environmental issues. There's been a lot of issues around noise and things at the moment in Moreland. So how are we measuring these things? What standards are we using? Are we meeting those standards? If those standards are not being met, what is the comeback for the people who are there who have to suffer through the consequences of standards not being met? And if people are being kept awake at night, then maybe the standards aren't good enough and we need to address that. So there's that environmental stuff that I'm really very, that's what I want to do. And then there's the social side. There's that quality assurance, that governance side of, are we doing a good job for the people who actually live here, the people who are putting their trust in us to do the things that we need to happen in order to get the best outcome for all of us, not just the people that are here alive at the moment, but actually all of the people that are going to be coming through our city and are going to have to live with whatever it is that we do. So those are the two strongest planks, I guess, in the platform that I'm really very fired up about.
Yeah, so I guess that this is sort of our best, the last kind of question I want to ask, and we can sort of leave some room for kind of any final comments. One of the things that Sue Bolton is known for as a kind of local councillor is she takes up both the local and the broader kind of political issues. And I guess I want to hear your comment, I guess, especially since we're living through quite an interesting kind of time right now with the COVID-19 kind of pandemic, especially in how it's disproportionately impacting, this pandemic is disproportionately impacting on the poor and the marginalised. But then there's also the other issue, and this relates kind of heavily to the climate. The whole kind of agenda of the federal government, in terms of a kind of post-COVID kind of recovery plan is to essentially build more, gas fields, to build more kind of fossil fuels. Essentially, you know, the governments aren't taking any lessons from this to actually, as a reason to reduce carbon emissions loss, they're going straight into building more and more fossil fuels. So I guess I just want to hear your kind of comments and your perspectives on some of the broader kind of political issues, especially in terms of today.
So I guess I would say that Sue's, the way Sue does tie in the bigger picture theory and the bigger picture analysis, I guess, rather than theory, into local issues is really inspiring, because I think it needs to happen. You need to have an analysis of why stuff is happening in order to actually address the root cause rather than just putting out spot fires all the time. So you actually need to have a way of looking at the big picture in order to address the small picture thing. So for example, with what's happening with the COVID, the pandemic and things at the moment, with the system of everything being privatized, and there's a system of basically the security system being, and the nursing system too, to a certain extent, being predicated on the there being people who are at, I'm sorry, I'm just stumbling on the words. So there are people that are at, because there are people don't have permanent employment, they are vulnerable to needing to get as many shifts as possible. And so you have people that are moving around to different workplaces to try and get up the hours that they need to be able to keep themselves and keep their food on their plates. So the whole system of privatization and moving away from actually having a workforce that works for you and just getting in casual staff, because like you can just get them in, and then when you don't want them anymore, just don't get them in. You get up a whole lot of situations where those people moving about through different lots of different workplaces is just a nightmare in a pandemic. And it will just increase the likelihood that things will go catastrophically wrong. It's not necessarily going to guarantee that things will go wrong, but when they do go wrong, they will go really wrong. And having a system where all this outsourcing, where your staff are outsourced to agencies and being moved around to a whole lot of different things, it's that analysis of actually privatization and privatizing businesses, moving them out from the public view where we can actually have decent standards, working conditions for people, actually offer people permanent jobs so that they don't have to be, I can't afford to take a day off because I don't have sick leave. Like, that is just a disaster in a pandemic. So to be able to have those different, that wider view, and to see it being played out in individual small, you know, workplaces, situations where people actually live, that's really critical and really inspiring. And it gives you a framework that you can look at a lot of different things and actually look at the root problems, I would say.
Yeah, thanks for that, I guess, Pauline. I guess maybe to conclude, I guess, this interview, do you have any, like, final comments you'd like to add?
I think what Sue does with actually being open to and responsive to community members has been really inspiring for me. I was talking to some of my neighbours and that I was, you know, running for Sue Bolton, and they were sort of saying, yeah, but that time when the council did that thing, the other councils were like, oh, what can you do? But Sue actually took up the issue and actually addressed it and actually did something. And I think that that is really half of why I'm running. Like, I could, you know, I could have gone and joined. So I'm standing as an independent. I could have chosen to go and join a political party and stand on my, with my values and what I think should be happening. But standing as an independent with someone like Sue Bolton on that team means that we are able to be more responsive to people, being open to people, and actually be a bit of a new eyes and clean broom through the council as well. So that's, it's actually, we're standing for an open and transparent council, that all the stuff I'm talking about, governance, it's about openness and transparency and being seen what's happening and being open to critiquing and thus being able to be responsive to the residents. So I think that would be my why, the underlying pinning of why I'm standing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pauline. Thanks for that. Just for listeners' information, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and we're just doing interview. We're just talking with Pauline Galvin, who is running as a lead candidate for the South Ward for the Moreland Council as part of the Sue Bolton Moreland team for the upcoming council elections on the 24th of October. Although the council election will technically start on the 6th of October, because I think that's when people are going to be getting their ballot packs in terms of being able to kind of vote. Okay, I'll just be playing a quick announcement and we'll move on to, I guess, the next part of the program.